This morning's scripture lesson comes from the book of Acts, chapter 8, verses 26 through 40.
Thank you.
May be found on page 892 in your pew Bible. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading? He replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this. Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each one of our hearts be holy and pleasing to you this day, that as we dive deeper into your word, as we hear your continued message to us, that we would not only find healing in the message of the resurrection, but that we would see the hope that pushes us forward into our life of faith. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So for the past month or so, we have been journeying through the season of Easter. We've been connecting these events in the early church, right? These stories from Acts to the healing nature of the resurrection, right? These events in Acts, the proclamation, the witness of this healing power, and the work that we've done so far, the 5 weeks, or I guess it would be 4 weeks, this is the fifth week of work, laying the groundwork for what we will come to see as the church, right? The incarnate Spirit of God, called to live out God's word. And so, over these latter weeks of this series, as we close our time in this Easter season and we march ourselves towards the celebration of Pentecost, we do so looking at these last few passages, not as much sermons or proclamations as we have heard, but now examples of actions undergirded by those messages that have brought us this far. Right? To be called into God's great work throughout creation is to be justified in God's grace. It is to name and acknowledge the repentance and the forgiveness that we receive. Yes, but it also entails the ongoing practices of sanctification, of being made perfect in God's love. As we experience, as we create, as we make space for God's work in our life and in the life of the community around us. And so we dive into our text today, the text that is before us, the text that Minta so beautifully read for us, this story in Acts offering us two different perspectives of what it means to live out, right? We have that of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And when we observe these two perspectives and observe the characters' relationship with one another, with their faith, and with God, we see how the message of Christ's resurrection provides an avenue to share our faith amidst questions and a wholeness, a welcomeness, a lovingness within community that is bringing us in and helping us to grow. So I want you to ponder for a moment. I want you to think about this. Have you ever been told you weren't enough? Have you ever felt different because of something about you? Now, I'm not trying to, you know, I don't want those feelings, you know, this is not that thing of, oh, I can't do this, and so I must be oppressed in some way, shape, or form. It's not that thought process at all. I'm thinking the ways that we are different from others, those things that make us unique, and yet they sometimes offer challenges in the ways that we interact with the world. Because when we look at this story, we see two different perspectives of people who are existing in their own manner of fringes on society. And we see the differences that they have from others around them and how those differences bring them together and how those differences raise them up, welcoming them in faith. Right? We have Philip. Philip is a Christian. Philip is a follower of the way. Now, don't hear that for what you may want to hear it as, but this is what makes Philip different in the book of Acts, right? Philip is a Christian. You might be saying, Pastor, everybody in the book of Acts is Christians. Well, no, not the people who are killing the Christians. Right? We can name that in that culture, being a Christian meant more than just being different. But it's something that separates Philip from others around him in society and even separates Philip from the eunuch in a manner in which he is different. The manner in which he experiences the world and all those around him, right? We can empathize with this idea of our faith making us feel different. Right? Not oppressed. We're not oppressed like the early Christians or those Christians in other worlds, but it makes us different sometimes. Right? We approach the world in different ways. We interact with creation differently. And then you have the eunuch. The Ethiopian eunuch, he has a sense of power, right? We read this, right? We read that he has this position in the queen's court. And we think to ourselves, oh, the eunuch, he is this powerful man. He has a place within the royal court, obviously. He is an important man, yes and no. Because the only reason the eunuch has this position in the court is because of who he is. Who he is this emasculated male. He is a male who can no longer procreate. He can no longer do things that would have been typical of males in his society. And we look at this nature of eunuchs in the ancient biblical times, and the reason they had powers in these royal courts was because they were emasculated, because of who they were, because of what that meant for their sexuality. And in that, we see that, yes, he is in this position of power, but his position of power only exists in and as much as he is in the queen's court. It doesn't transition anywhere else, and even we can assume from other documents in the time that his position in the queen's court was just what he did. Right? He would keep the books of the treasury. That didn't necessarily make him rich. He watched over the queen's court, standing outside many of the rooms in the court. That didn't mean he had authority to say what happened in those rooms. You see, it was only a role. And because of who he was, it meant that when he was out in society, or even when he was treated by many of those in the royal court, he was treated as less than. He was treated as different. His differences were not seen in the wholeness of God's creation. And yet this budding relationship invites us to consider how our faith draws us not only towards those who desire to learn, but also those who are otherwise outcasts in society and even sometimes in faith. Because as we dive into this text, we see a relationship that begins to form between these two people that exists not in their differences, but exists in what could be in common between them. And it starts with Philip hearing the voice of God. And it follows through to getting this pivotal question. Right? We exit this passage, and I can almost, I'm not going to be 100% certain about this, but I can almost guarantee that when you exit this passage, when we say the word of God for the people of God, and we are thankful to God for God's word in that moment, that one of the lines that sticks out to you is the eunuch asking, look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized? Now, depending on the translation of the Bible you look at, there is a verse 37. In the New Revised Standard Version, there is not. Fact check me on that one. You see, it wasn't, that verse was believed to have been added in later years to kind of justify this interaction. But you see, in the text that we have here in the New Revised Standard Version, and when we tend to look at some of the Greek and the Hebrew and some of the early and ancient texts, we don't see that verse in there. And so it's as almost as if the question is posed rhetorically. Philip is not meant to answer the question because there is no answer to the question other than yes. Because in and of itself, asking the question is an affirmation of what the covenant, of what you are agreeing to. Right, among the other questions shared in this passage, this one stands out. When we look at the history of the church, when we look at our theology around the sacraments, we recognize the role that baptism plays in this journey of faith. I don't think any of us would question, looking at the conversation that unfolds before verse 36, would say that the eunuch does not believe. For if he did not believe, then why would he ask to be baptized? The eunuch has been justified in grace and is now looking for an expression, an experience, a means of that grace. And the action that we get in verse 38 suggests that with the eunuch's understanding and acknowledgement of the work of Christ, it leads him to know that there is nothing that can prevent him from having this relationship. In other places where he was prevented, now he is welcomed in. The eunuch doesn't need to be told yes. The chariot stops, and they get out, and the eunuch is baptized. Because when we see that when all else fails, when society, the world, and even sometimes the church fail, that the great and the wonderful nature of God is present in our faith. And Philip becomes the example of a vessel for this work, right? Philip is the listening ear. Philip is the source of knowledge to dive deeper into these Hebrew scriptures. Philip is the connection, is a connection to the divine grace of God offered through Christ's resurrection. And so Philip's extension of this message offers to this eunuch, faith and understanding in Christ and a knowing of being welcomed into God's kingdom. Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized? And the answer is nothing, because the eunuch believes in Christ. The eunuch understands the message that has been shared with him and sees this act, this sacrament is an opportunity to grow more in his faith, to grow closer to God. This story establishes a connection for us, indicating that the redemptive story of the resurrection is just that. It is redemptive. It brings this idea of God's redeeming grace into us, and it is meant to bring healing where people may otherwise feel excluded. The redeeming nature of God takes this concept of death, this concept of finality, this concept of end, and it says, stop right there, and offers new life. Right? We tend to do that. We tend to think that death is the end. We look at things, and when they stop or when they die, we think that has to be the end of the story. And yes, we grieve and we are upset. And yet, if we do not move past it, if we allow death to be the final thing, then what room do we give for resurrection, not just in our life here on earth, but in our own life after our death? It is intended to bring healing. And it starts with all of these questions, right? Philip, as soon as he approaches and he hears, he asks the question, do you understand what you are reading? And the eunuch responds, how can I unless someone guides me? And right, and Philip doesn't regurgitate all of this information. Philip simply asks him to reread the text, and they unpack it together, right? Does the prophet say this about himself or someone else? Continuing to invite conversation around what is happening in the book of Isaiah. Right? And we see, and when we look at this verse in Isaiah, we see that Isaiah is talking about, yes, himself, yes, about the Israelite people, but it also offers an understanding for us to dive into the message of the gospel. And we see how scripture opens the eyes, the eunuch's eyes, to Jesus' redemptive salvation. And he begins to see this healing message. For if in this faith, if this faith is built upon a persecuted people, if this faith is built upon a persecuted Lord, then even in the midst of my persecution, even in the midst of my otherness, of my differences, of those things that separate me, that make me unique, that sometimes other people do not see as good, that God sees me for who I am, a beloved part of creation. And so we find this message of hope, this message of welcome, this message of understanding. We hope in God's nature. We hope in God's grace, not because it is not there, but we hope for the redeeming work that God's grace offers us. Right? When we gather together here as Christian community, our role is to both give and receive. Right? We come here this day. We come here to receive what God has for us. We come to praise and worship because we know that God loves us. We know that God is there for us. We know that God is working in us and sanctifying us and making us the people of God that we are meant to be. And then we take what we experience here and we take it out to the world to show, to help others, to know and understand. Where others have questions, we can help. We have an opportunity to help. Where others cannot see hope, we have an opportunity to show hope. Where others experience hurt and grief, we have an opportunity to bring healing by the very nature of our life in faith, of our life as people of promise and hope. This is the foundation of our life together as a church. Right, we talked about that cornerstone last week. That cornerstone is Jesus Christ, the Word of God. And we build upon that, knowing that our faith continues to be built, continues to be made stronger, so that when we go out in the world, when others look and see the foundation of our faith, when they see us living our lives, when they ask us questions, we can help them to see God's love and grace. We can welcome them in, so that when they get to a point where they say, I see what God is doing, Pastor, what can prevent me from going to the waters of baptism? I don't have to say anything because nothing can prevent it. Nothing can stop them. Nothing can prevent them from encountering the Lord our God, the love and grace that God has for us. Nothing can prevent anybody from growing in God's love and grace. And when we are welcomed in, we are welcomed in the nature of who God has created us to be. And so I ask you, what is stopping you? Not just what's stopping you from being baptized. Because many of you all have been baptized. You've made that decision. You've made that covenant. But see, that does not mean that we cannot continue to ask that question of other phases of our faith. Friends, what is stopping you from living into the fullness of God's grace? What is stopping you from sharing your knowledge and understanding through a life lived in faith? What is stopping you from engaging with all of our siblings across creation and God's redeeming work? What is stopping you? Because friends, it's not God. It's not God who's stopping you. We wrestle with this, knowing that at one point in time, we were the eunuch. We were the one who needed to learn, who needed to grow, who needed to mature in faith. We were the one that needed to encounter the waters of baptism. And you know who was there for us? God. You know who was there for us? Community. Teachers and leaders who formed and shaped us. Even though we were miscreant little children who caused trouble, who gave their mothers headaches. No, just me? Okay, cool. The cooler part of the story that I like to think about is what happens next. What stories does Philip tell? What stories did the eunuch tell? Because both of them become invited to showcase all of this. The welcoming of God's grace, assurance, and justification, and the role to live and be open to God's calling for showing and expressing what our faith means. Now, here's the thing, folks. There are going to be questions. There are going to be questions. I went through 3 years of seminary, 4 years of undergrad. I've been a pastor for almost 10 years now. Friends, I still have questions. There are going to be hard questions, too. But see, that's the great thing about being together. Is we have opportunities to figure those answers out. And there may not always be clean answers. They may not always be black and white. There might be nuance to them. But we go down this journey together, knowing that it is through God that we continue on this journey, and knowing that it is through God and the community that is around us that encourages us to go and to share, to live. So how will you live your faith? The faith that welcomed you, and the faith that extends across creation. Amen.